Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome back to Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville, of course. We have some domestic and overseas chats this week on the show. I'll be talking to Darren Mooney from UCD American Football. I'll also be chatting to Paul Grogan from the Dublin Rebels, both teams, of course, in the Irish American Football Association. I'll be chatting to the lads about their SBC semi-final games this Sunday at 2 o'clock. I'll also chat to Paul about the recent announcement that the Irish Wolfhounds, which is their national team back in Ireland, will be playing Belgium at home in October in an international fixture. So great to see that the Wolfhounds are back up and running. I also went to Pat's training camp. So if you saw on my Instagram page, I had loads of footage up there from Gillette Stadium, looking at Pat's camp there over the weekend. And I chatted to some fans afterwards about what they thought, what players impressed them, and their thoughts for the 2018 season for the New England Patriots. So lots of good stuff on this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. So let's get after it. Episode 36, it's got to be dedicated to the one and only Jerome the Bus Bettis, one of my dad's all-time favourite players, actually. Bettis was born in Detroit, Michigan, rather, in 1972. Played high school ball after, oddly enough, giving up bowling at Detroit McKenzie High School, and he was a standout linebacker and running back there. He went on to play college ball with the Fighting Irish in South Bend, Indiana, from 1990 to 1992, and he skipped his senior year to declare for the 1993 NFL Draft. He would be drafted by the LA Rams with the 10th overall pick, and he went to two of his six Pro Bowls in his first two seasons with the Rams before being traded to the Steelers for a third round pick before the 96 draft. In his 10 years with Pittsburgh, he became a fan favourite and embodied the tough, hard-nosed football style that Pittsburgh is known for. He was part of Super Bowl 40 team, who beat the Seahawks 21-10 in Ford Field in his hometown of Detroit, Michigan, and retired pretty much as a Steeler after that game. Stats-wise, he finished with 13,664 rushing yards, 91 rushing touchdowns, 200 receptions for 1,457 reception yards. He is in the Steelers' all-time team, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2015. So, episode 36, running back Jerome Bettis. Without further ado, let's get cracking with the rest of this week's show.
Come on. Yeah. Fuck with your boy. Yeah. It's Santana. Once again. Hey, man. Oh, yeah, man. Let me see you do this. Killer. Chip. Freaking. Yeah, man. I'm back at it. Come on. Today's a new day. Got the bootay up in the suitcase. So go uptown to Harlem. Tell them that I sent ya. Yep. Tell them it's August, I'm going to November. Yeah. I need a couple birds, get abroad, have them sent up. Yes. Call my bird, get my broad, have her sent up. Please call my niggas. Call
my first guest on this week's show is Darren Mooney. Darren is wide receiver for UCD American Football. He's also the wide receiver coach there. Darren, thanks very much for taking time out of your week to come on to Paddy Pigskin. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Kerry. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, I am a Trinity College educated man, so we're going to have to put our differences aside for the sake of this podcast.
I'm hanging up. You didn't tell me that before I got on.
I know. I normally only break that information to people at the last minute when they can't back out. So,
good. You're embarrassed of it, are you?
I appreciate you coming on. So, how was the body? You've had 2 weeks off now. You had the wild card weekend off. You also had the rest week for that all the teams had in the IFL. So, all your niggles that you may have had, are they all healing up now, yeah?
I can talk for myself and say, yes, they have. I had a bit of a bad finger kind of bruise during the game against Cork. Played both ways down there. And it was actually during a tackle when I was playing cornerback. And then I had a bit of perineal tendonitis, which is on my ankle. But since then, it's been grand. I've been taping it up and had a bit of a break and resting it. You know, the usual stuff when you're old as me. And you need ties all the time after every session. But in terms of the other lads, we came out of Cork the last game of the season with the win. And, you know, it was a bigger thing was we didn't come out with any injuries, sure. Which was brilliant. You know, especially with the heat and all. It was 28 degrees. You know, it's always been in Texas.
Yeah. Irish folks are not used to
roasting. And the Cork fellas had to. Absolutely not. We're used to the rain, man. You know, we're used to taking the gloves off and getting dirty and muddy, but this was pretty gorgeous in one way. But I tell you, in another way, we were dying because, you know, being a student team, we have some people with a few brain cells, and we have some with a few missing from all the drinking, I assume. But we forgot to bring the canopy for the heat, so we were absolutely roasted out of it. And the Cork lads had they have a good stadium down there, good home field, so they had a bit of shade.
Sure, yeah.
But we were dying. So anyway, no injuries, which was fantastic. We've got Cork coming back again, and we're coming up to Dublin this time now for the semi final. But a couple of guys back from injury, which has been great. So a couple of guys that didn't play at Cork, Gavin Quirk is one of our receivers, and I can talk for mainly the receivers, but there's a few others as well who are coming back. And our rookie kind of sensation, Robert Brown, he plays at the outside for us, and he's had a really good rookie season, great rookie season. He's back after having a couple of injuries, ankle and stuff like that. So our receiving core has got a bit of a boost really for the semi-final. So that's been great.
Fantastic, yeah. And like, you know, you want to see teams go at each other with 100% players, you know, like you don't want to have that what if this guy was healthy or what if this guy wasn't injured and all that sort of stuff. You want to see best v best and may the best team win, you know. So it's great to hear that all your lads are healing up. So you alluded earlier on that you are the wide receiver coach, so you've been involved with UCD American football now for a while. So for people that don't know you, or just starting to get to know you through, you know, the fantastic season UCD have had, can you just give us a brief kind of overview of how you got involved with UCD American football into, you know, today, pretty much?
Yeah, no problem. So I went to UCD as a student, and my sport was actually judo. I was judo champion of Ireland now at pretty low weight at 60 kilograms, and I used to travel with it and stuff like that. But when I turned up at UCD, I'd only really started watching American football and feckin' started following the Bengals. Terrible idea, but they had Chad Johnson at the time, and he's great crack, but he's gone now, and they're freaking mediocre. They hate mediocre, like either win it or lose it, one or the other. But a bit like Japan and in the rugby, do you know what I mean? They always go for the win, never mind the draw.
Yeah.
So basically, joined the club when I saw it was there. Barry Flynn, who people don't know, he was a great receiver for the Rebels, which you were as well. But Barry set up the club with a couple of friends, and I remember coming down like the first year and joining up, and I played a couple of years down there, 2 years down there in UCD for 2 years as a cornerback. And the current head coach, who's the head coach of UCD now, Dave Murphy, he actually joined the next year, so we know each other for a long time. And Dave's, you know, head coach of UCD for a good few number of years now. But after those 2 years, I moved across to the UK and started playing football over there, continued playing really. And I played for a team called the Bedfordshire Blue Raiders for two years, who now are the Ouse Valley Eagles. But then I moved up to Derby, and I started playing for the Tamworth Phoenix, and that was a huge wake-up call for me.
Say,
you know, I transitioned to receiver, and these guys, they train at another level. So it was great seeing how a team like that, and they won the Brit Bowl last year, and you know, traveling in Europe and everything, and you know, incredible players there. I played with Pat Daly, who's the quarterback there. He's the starting quarterback for GB, and Jesus, you know, it's next level, these guys, you know. And Pat's a superstar. You know, when I came back 2 years ago, after my stint of working in the UK, you know, you get that home bug, you know, being Irish.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
UK, nice place to live, the UK, but you know, Ireland is second to none for me, anyway, in terms of the people, you know.
Yeah.
So came home and joined with UCD again, and since then I've been, you know, helping up the guys, just kind of attitude to approaching games, and you know, giving them a few pointers about pass game and everything else, and it's a great system for that, because Dave is just so welcoming as a head coach, you know, he welcomes all feedback.
Yeah, fantastic. And you're kind of getting,
so that's where I am.
You're getting involved in some of the media side of things as well. I was listening to you there on Dublin City FM, so you're a man of many talents. You're doing it on the field, you know, on the sidelines as well, and now you're doing it in, you know, on podcasts and radio and stuff like that. So it's great to see, you know, teams regularly being involved in the media, and kind of the Irish media are starting to take notice of the quality of the football that's starting to shine through in Dublin. So we appreciate you coming on here and giving us your time. So you are playing the Cork Admirals this Sunday, and obviously they just came through a slobber knocker of a game down there against the Dublin Panthers.
Yeah,
double
for
overtime,
sure.
Win.
Some game.
Sounded like an absolute mental
basketball
game. So you excited for this matchup? You already beat them 21-3 there in Cork a few weeks ago. How do you feel about going into the game on Sunday?
Well, we're kind of approaching this game in an interesting you know, away, because we have just played them. Our last game was against them, and really they had a tough game against the Panthers, a really tough game, and the Panthers really put it up to them. You know, traveling down there with a kind of a young team, you know, going up against the Cork, who've had a great season, really. You know, it was a good game for them to get into for us, because they're probably wrecked, but but Cork know us, and Cork in a way, Gary, are a bit of a rivalry of ours, and I know that sounds a bit mad. Because, you know, you have this, given they live so far away, and you know, we've got rivals in Trinity and other Dublin teams. But every time we play Cork, it's a real battle in terms of in the trenches. There's always fantastic fight going on there. Sometimes there's fights after the whistle. It's a real rivalry game, and they like beating us, we like beating them. And it really started last year for me, the kind of interaction with Cork, because we had a game against them last year, and they were heading to the playoffs, fair play to them, and it was the last game of the season, and we were kind of out of it, and we were out of the season, we were 2-5 going into the last game, and we kind of came into this game thinking, licking our chops and saying, sure, we'll give it a good whack, sure, we've nothing to lose. And they're going to the playoffs, and we ended up playing a fantastic game against them and winning something like 42-26. Really big scoreline. Tom Donovan threw a couple of touchdowns. I got one of them. Gav got another one. So we played a really powerful game against them, and I guess that's where it all kind of started this year, in a way, was beating Cork last game of the season. We had kind of shed all of our fears about losing, and kind of said, right, we're in this to just win. Let's just have fun, win the game. You had 22 lads that day. A lot of guys playing both ways, you know.
Yeah.
So that game really kind of brought us into this season with a very good feeling. So having beaten Cork last game out, we've got them here now in the playoffs, and they're coming up to Dublin, so that's always going to be tough, you know, traveling, because we know that from going away. It's tough going out, you know, going up to Belfast, going to Cork, going to Limerick, you know, a bit of a journey there, and the guys, you know, getting up early and getting the bus and everything. But Cork are a team that you kind of have to watch out for. They can beat anyone. They beat the Rebels this year. The Rebels got them back.
Yep.
But they have the ability, so you have to watch them.
So when you played a few weeks ago, it kind of looked like it was a potential preview game of a playoff matchup, and that has indeed come true. So obviously you wanted to go undefeated and you wanted to put your best foot forward at that stage, but at the same time you're kind of thinking in the back of your minds, do we want to show our full hand, or do we want to bust open the full playbook, or did you want to just kind of play a conservative and do what had to be done and nothing really extra, or how did you approach that game?
It's a very good question. We actually had discussion amongst the coaches, and this is one thing between this year and last year that's a big difference, is that last year Dave Murphy was doing it all himself, and that's so difficult on a team in you know, Shamrock Bowl Conference. Do everything yourself, talking defence, offence, special teams, getting the guys going. So this year we have a lot of coaches that have come in and helped, and Owen Feely being a big one, coming back after being pretty injured. You know, he had a bad Achilles tear. And he wasn't really around. He had work stuff and things like that. Him being back, myself helping out, Polly Geraghty, a couple of the guys, special teams coaches like Pete Canning is even come across to help us out. And it makes a big difference in terms of how are we going to approach these games. Because I think Dave even thought, why don't we just play our backups for Cork and to let it go? But I was of the mind, well, you know, let's go out, let's put our fellas out and play a conservative, perhaps, you know, in terms of rotations, keeping guys fresh for the next game. Looking at the heat, it was very difficult because we didn't have the numbers, really. So we kind of had to play our guys.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual playbook, you are correct in your judgment. We held some stuff back because the way we've kind of approached this year as an offense is Paulie Geraghty's the offensive coordinator. Dave's the overall. I help out in the pass game, and Owen Feely helps out in the run game, which has come on massive this year. The run game has been our biggest difference this year, maker, in terms of offense. We're able to run, and Tom Donovan is a big part of that. We're able to run, we're able to pass, so it's difficult to cover everything. But we came into this season, and we're always adding little wrinkles to our basics, let's call them, to our fundamental playbook. As we go through the season, you've got other teams that are watching film of us. They're setting up the defense to beat our various, you know, wrinkles. So we have to put new ones in all the time. So there's a couple of stuff that we've been practicing for weeks that we haven't really bust out yet. So There's a surprise in the bag.
Okay.
Hopefully. And, well, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. You know what I mean? But
and to touch on that, it's very much like the Patriot Way, my local team here in Boston. They always pull out these, as you say, little wrinkles. And they nearly pulled one off in a Super Bowl when they passed to Brady. But they kind of, they have their basics that they do very well. But they also have those little aces up the sleeve. So in big games, when it's, you know, do or die, they always kind of bust them out. And for the most part, they've always worked for the Patriots. They didn't in that particular one when Brady dropped it. But like you said, it's always good to have those little extra wrinkles that nobody has seen before for, you know, playoff games and such.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a cheers for that, comparison there. You could get higher praise there. You know what I mean? But no, I mean...
Well, I want to stop you there. What happened when the last time the Pats were going for a fully undefeated season? What happened, you know? Oh, I'll say no more than that. But
Don't remind me. Don't scare me, right? We haven't got there yet.
I'll leave it at that. You mentioned there that, you know, the end of last season and coming into this season, you had a bit of a turnaround. So it has been, when you look at the records, it's been a meteoric rise, really, for UCD football, having gone 3-5 last season. And sorry to remind you, you had a negative points difference of -84 when you finished third in the SBC North. To scoring the most in the league this year, 253 points. In fairness, that's 7 games. So you had the 30-0 forfeit there. But pretty much 30 points per game. What's really changed? You said you brought on a lot of new coaching staff this year. What's changed in such a short space of time? Have you gotten a lot of good production out of rookies, and have, you know, guys with 1 or 2 years under their belt kind of bought into, you know, lads, we have a really good combination of veteran players, really good rookie players that are starting to contribute, and a lot of veteran coaches? Is it just kind of that perfect cocktail that's just come together at the right time for you?
Yeah, I might as well just let you explain it, to be honest, Gary, because you've hit it on the head. You know, the interesting thing for UCD as a club in the SBC is that we're a student team, for better or for worse, and it's for worse in the case of Trinity this year. And we as a club kind of understand the issues that they have had in terms of numbers, in terms of not having a great recruiting season, and it can happen, because, you know, we're a team that recruits in September for games in April.
Yeah.
So it's a huge long, like after the Shamrock Bowl final, we're almost straight back in it as coaches trying to get these younger guys back up again. So in that way, it's for better or for worse. You've got guys that are training through the year, young guys, and a lot of our team is young. Veterans like myself, Paul, I was going to call him Paulie G. That's his local name, Paul Geraghty. But Paulie G, he's got his gear back on, and he's playing as well, and Feely as well. So all of our offensive, let's say inverted commas, coaches, because we're all player coaches, are on the field, and that gives the veteran presence, as you alluded to, on the field, the kind of calming influence. And I won't say for Feely, he's the energy. He's the engine room. He's the guy that gets everyone fired up, really, when on the field, because he is always fired up. But Paul and myself are maybe a bit more backseater, but, you know, correcting things as we go. But in terms of the rookies, we have a great rookie class. Rob Brown, I've already mentioned. Mm. We've had a couple of guys on D who've been pretty good. And the other thing is our offense gets a lot of press. And fair enough, we've a high scoring offense. We're fun to watch, and it's fun to call plays. I was injured in the first like three or four games, and I call plays against the Knights, and Jesus, great crack on them, calling plays for
it's like you're playing Madden, I'd say, was it?
It is. It was 42-41, so fair play to the Knights, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
But we just said, right, we just keep scoring, and this is the thing where Dave Murphy comes in, because he's an underrated coach. He was doing all last year, and it's tough, but he comes in with these little things, and I'm there driving on the field with the offense, saying, calling the plays, couple of plays of the game, and Dave comes up and whispers in my ear, and he goes, "We're going for two." Now, we haven't scored yet. We're going for two, as in to win the game. Like, you know, we weren't going to kick the draw, and I looked at him, I smiled. You know what I mean? When your offense coordinator, your head coach are laughing, you know, going down the field try and win, that's a good sign. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
when you're kind of having a crack.
Yeah, it is. You know, you gotta have a little bit of fun while you're beating up on teams at the same time, you know.
Absolutely. And the Knights thought it was the best game they ever played, and they lost. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was such a good game for the two teams. But anyway, getting back to it, so we've got a good rookie class, and they've had a great season. But our kind of biggest change has been the influx of coaches, either from the ranks coming back, as in Feely's case, coming back from injury and work, you know, commitments, to having more time to put into the team. Having huddle has been a huge difference, and that kind of comes down to our only sponsor, which is Delta Star Global. Pete Canning really pushed for us to get it, and we did get it through the sponsor. But huddle has been brilliant for us. Self-analysis has been a huge impact.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure the Rebels have had something similar. It's a huge difference.
And I always, you know, I always even say to lads that are kind of new to the game, even if they can, you know, have a little camera or on a tripod or whatever and just focus on their own kind of fundamentals and stuff like that, just for, like you said, that self-analysis to be able to identify kind of weaknesses in your technique and stuff and to just develop those.
Yes.
It's a massive tool having yourself on film. So you can judge and critique what you're doing on the field and then try and work on it off the field.
Absolutely. And I'll just add a little to that on the end of that, Gary, because that's spot on. As a wide receivers coach this year, I'm a slot receiver and Paul is an outside receiver. So we kind of split the duties a little bit there, but we help all the receivers out, you know.
Sure.
But one of the things that I say to them, and I do it myself, you put your phone down, go to the park, and you're practicing your route running, and you're not training, go to the park and just look at yourself, video yourself, and they'd send it to me, and you're not releasing off your front foot properly, you've got too much weight on the back foot, etc. You know yourself. It's a huge thing. You know, guys working out outside of training is massive, you know what I mean? And it's getting them to do it is the hard thing, you know, because they've got lives as well, you know what I mean? They're not getting paid for this.
Yeah, you got to put in the work in your own time as well, though, and then bring that to the table when it comes practice or game time. So let's briefly talk about your quarterback, Tom Donovan. I was asked a few weeks ago, I did a little question.
Brief now, right? He gets enough praise.
We will be brief. I was asked a few weeks ago there, I did a Q&A on Instagram. I was asked who the best quarterback in Ireland is. Andy Dennehy or Jack Fagan might punch me in the stomach, but I did say it was Tom, no doubt about it. And his 2018 season stats do kind of back it up. And in only 7 actual games, because you had that walkover, he's had 10 passing touchdowns. He's had 4 two-point conversions, and according to the scoring statistics on the IFA website, he has 9 rushing touchdowns. As far as I could see, UCD had 26 total touchdowns on offense. It looks like Tom has been involved in 80% of them. So what's Tom done to really kind of cement his status as the top dual-threat quarterback in the league? Because he gets it done, you know, 10 passing touchdowns, 9 rushing touchdowns. Very difficult to scheme against a guy like that, because you have to be prepared for him to just hang there in the pocket and throw the ball around. You also have to contain the edges in case he starts scampering off. So has he kind of been working hard in his own time, or has kind of his experience in the league, it's all just kind of coming together to him to reach this peak?
Tom has been a very athletic and a very good quarterback for actually a number of years, Gary. If you've ever seen a player played against him, you know what I'm talking about. The guy, as you rightly say, very difficult to scheme against. And, you know, I think Cork's game plan going into the game was beat up Tom Donovan. Let's get to Tom. Because it's so difficult when you've got a dual-threat quarterback like that. And Tom is, he's a joy to play with as a receiver. He's a joy to coach. Right, he can drive you mad sometimes because his knowledge of the game is very good. And Tom, the guy, he goes off on these tangents when he's thinking about things, and sometimes it's hard to bring him down to earth. But as a player overall, because I think he could play anywhere in the field, being honest. And he's quarterback because the ball's in his hand more often, and you see what happens when it does get into his hands, because his running ability is second to none, I think, in the entire league at the moment. Never mind running backs. I think he's stunning at running the ball, because he's got such a low center of gravity for such a strong and large fella.
And going
on his throwing, I think his mechanics, he's improved this year. I think he's starting to read the game a bit better, which is something that he's learned a lot, and he's getting a lot of help from the coach. And Dave Murphy's put a lot of time into him in the past. You know, Dave kind of took him and spent a lot of time with him on his mechanics a couple of years ago, and he's been constantly building on that. And to be honest, I actually think Tom hasn't even hit his peak. But to be honest, personally, my objective for him this year, and we haven't hit it, and that's maybe on me as a kind of passing kind of guy and trying to get the passing game going. And it might be the running game is stealing a lot of it, because it's been fantastic this year. But I kind of wanted him getting 20 touchdowns. I wanted him 2 touchdowns a game.
Well, you know, he could have got a few against Trinity had that game gone ahead, you know. But we won't say. We won't
absolutely say anything about that one. Oh, no, we won't say anything about that because it's unfortunate. You can't, you know, it's hard to jump on teams that are struggling. Sure. You know, yeah. It's always hard. But one of the things is you have to note that our backup quarterback, Aaron, is my brother. He also threw two touchdowns this year. So they could have been Tom's. Do you know what I mean? So that was just playing the backup against Loud to kind of get him some time in case Tom was to go down. So, and he's so durable as well. That's the other thing about Tom, that's funny. You don't generally have to worry about injuries because he's got such a good base.
Yeah.
And he's shaking guys off. I mean, it's incredible watching him. You know, he's great. Like, and I don't want to praise him too much. I said he's going to be brief, but it's hard not to, you know.
We'll stop massaging his ego. So I'm sure he'll be listening to this and he'll be loving every minute of it. I'll leave it at that. Best of luck this Sunday. The game is at 2:00. And is it on UCD campus or where is it on?
Gary, I'm going to say it's on UCD campus, but as far as I know, it's going to be played on the rugby AstroTurf pitch.
Okay.
Right?
Rugby AstroTurf.
Close to the sports centre. We're not 100% on that. It's about 90% on that, but I'll get back to you on it. I'll send you a message anyway. Right? So you can say.
Brilliant. Right. Fantastic. Dara, thanks a million for taking time out to come on to us. It's been a pleasure having you on, chatting about UCD American football. Delighted to see you have had a really fantastic turnaround. I think it gives hope to a lot of teams that may have been struggling for a year or two and are looking to bounce back. So thanks very much for giving us an insight into everything going on there at UCD.
No worries, Gary. Anytime, man. Mind yourself.
Thanks a million.
As I mentioned at the start of the show, I was at Pat's training camp over the weekend down at Gillette Stadium checking out the New England Patriots. Spoke to some fans afterwards about what they thought, who impressed them, and what their thoughts for the 2018 season was. So let's hear what they had to say.
So I'm here with Dana from arborpro.com.
Yep.
And fantasyhardknocks.com.
Yep.
And big Pats fan, obviously. You're here at the Pats training camp like myself. So who impressed you today, Dana?
Yeah, I think Riley McCarron's looked good so far. You know, he's young. He's probably going to be on the practice squad, but, I mean, he could do some things. Another thing the Bears watching, I think, is the running back situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's the odd man out there? And I think, you know, initially coming into camp, I thought it was Gillislee. And seeing him work out, and he's looked good and sharp. So I think, you know, maybe it flips to Hill. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, and there's some other things to look at, too. I mean, you look at the Gronk situation and his contract and things and what's going to happen with that. So I think there's some question marks this year. Definitely.
Yeah. And, I mean, it would be a fall from grace for Hill because I guess he was a second rounder out of LSU, right? He was that starting running back there at the Bengals. And
yeah.
Gio Bernard took the job back off him. And
he's definitely a talented dude, but I think what you see in the NFL is running backs last 3 or 4 years and then they start bouncing around. And I think that's what we're seeing with Hill.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he sticks here. I mean, he is really talented, but he lacks a little bit in the pass catching side. And I think, you know, the Patriots utilize a lot of different things in that way, using pass catching and running and blocking. And so if he can't do all of it, I think that becomes a challenge for him.
Okay. What's your prediction for the 2018 season?
You know, I think
if I was to push you.
Yeah, I think this might be a tough year for them. And by, you know, it's funny because for the Patriots, but for a tough year, you know, maybe it's not 13-3, maybe they're 11-5, 10-6, but they're still winning the division, right? They're in a weak division.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they've got a tough schedule like we talked about. I mean,
sure,
they start
off
with the Texans and the Jaguars.
Very tough.
They've got some other teams mixed in like the Vikings and the Packers, I think, that could present challenges. And then the Steelers on the road again this year. So, you know,
a lot
and then
of tough games, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, they've got the 6 cupcakes in the East, right? So so they've got 6 instant wins. But, I mean, they've still got a challenging schedule outside of that, so I think it could be tough for them.
Okay. Thanks very much for chatting to us, Dana.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm here with Jonathan. Jonathan's from Durham, Connecticut, also here at Pat's training camp. Thanks very much for talking to us, Jonathan.
Sure, no problem.
What was your thoughts today? Did anybody stand out, really impress you?
Actually, the Stephon Gilmore is one cornerback. We've had him for a year now.
Yep.
And, he's making a good second year impression, which is good.
So it took him a while to kind of get used to the new system, I guess, coming over from Buffalo, but he found his feet.
When you're going from one team to the New England Patriots, everything is a lot harder to learn.
Very true.
And some people can learn it if they work hard and listen hard enough. And
yeah.
There's some people that
just can't hack it. Yeah. Anybody on offense really that kind of stood out for you?
Edelman. Yeah. I'm glad to see him doing well after he came back from tearing his ACL in preseason.
Yeah. I saw him catch a smasher out there on the sideline. He looked like there was nothing wrong with him, so that's good to see.
I hope to not see any of our starters in the preseason. Don't care if we go 0-4. As long as we have everybody healthy enough come February, that's all I care about.
Okay. What's your prediction for 2018?
2018, I predict that we will go 13-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it.
I know, right?
You should get a lot of wins in the AFC East anyway, so it's just
I think we'll definitely
wins.
Make the AFC East. We'll win the division. The only two teams I could see possibly standing in our way right now is Pittsburgh, who, you know, so they always play us tough, but sometimes they're not always up to their game defensively. There's always Jacksonville, but, you know, a lot of people know how they work now after last year, so they might be taken down just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think one of the surprise teams is probably going to be Oakland.
Okay.
Yep.
Hot take there, Jonathan from Durham, Connecticut. Yeah. Thanks very much for chatting to us.
Sure, no problem.
So I'm here with Eric from Somerville, Massachusetts. Yes, that is a real place as well as my surname. Eric, thanks for coming on to chat to us. So what do you think of training camp today? Did you have a good time? Was there people that impressed you on the field?
It was great. I mean, I'm a big Sony Michel guy. So first round pick, I think he's going to pop. I really do. And I like Isaiah Wynn too. I think it's going to be a good pick. We need O-line, so we'll kind of see how it goes.
Yeah. But Michel seemed to be getting good yards out of contact there, and he's
definitely
he's a very good looking back.
Definitely his quickness. I don't know if the college football championship, Oklahoma game and Alabama, definitely. I mean, I think he scored like 4 touchdowns against Oklahoma in a big game.
Yeah.
Scored the game winner, so hoping for more of that with the Patriots.
Yeah, and he had a first round grade by a lot of analysts, so you know, you gotta expect that he's gonna produce if he has a first round grade coming into the draft.
Definitely, and it's very rare that Belichick drafts a running back that high, so he must have saw something.
Absolutely.
And I think so too. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody on defense that impressed you there today? We saw 2 picks from Harmon.
Definitely, dude. Jerron Harmon. I mean, it got me a little depressed because he's wearing the 21, so I thought of Butler when he was doing it, but he looks great out there.
It
was
one of them was literally on the goal line over the middle. I was like, oh, there's Malcolm. Oh, no, wait, it's not Malcolm Butler anymore.
Exactly.
At least he's keeping the interception dream alive there on the goal line. So.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your prediction for the season for the 2018 Patriots?
I mean, I'm a very positive person, so I got to say, you know, they're going to go all the way. That's what I'm hoping for. So.
All right. I can't knock the confidence. Eric, thanks very much for coming on.
No problem.
So I'm here with Neil from Douglas, Mass. You're not able to see this, but Neil is a very large man.
Yes.
You play offensive line for Holy Cross, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to be a freshman at Holy Cross.
Okay, very good. What do you think of today's training camp? Were you impressed?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Really efficient out there. They were moving around a lot. It was cool to see all the players coming back and stuff, so that was pretty fun.
Okay, anybody on offense that impressed you? You were probably watching the O-line technique a little bit more in the skill positions.
A couple of them look a little rusty maybe, you know, trying to come together again. You got to work as one. So it's pretty cool to see though. Brady looked okay. A couple of interceptions today.
We just mentioned earlier on he had 2 picks on the goal line there from someone wearing 21. So maybe the ghost of Malcolm Butler is living on there in that jersey.
Jerron Harmon.
Jerron Harmon, anybody on defense really that kind of jumped out with you?
Yeah, Jerron Harmon stuck out. He had a couple of interceptions there. McCourty was doing well, good. Devin, I didn't see Jason really.
Yeah.
But he's doing pretty well out there. A lot of the D-backs are playing good today.
Yeah. What's your prediction for 2018?
Oof, like a record? Probably 13 wins, 14 wins.
Okay. That's fine. I can't knock that confidence there.
Yeah.
I admire it.
I mean, you got 8 wins easy just playing in the AFC East.
True, awful. All right. Thanks very much. Thanks very much for coming on, Neil. No appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I'm here with Cody from Buffalo in upstate New York, who's here attending 2018 Pats training camp.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on to chat
to us.
Of course, yeah. Did you have a good time today? I know it's very, very warm out here. Did you survive in the heat?
Well, we're working on it.
We're all sweating here, but we're here to enjoy football. Did anybody even press you out there, put on a really good show on the field, on offense in particular?
Gronk and Devin Lucian, pretty good.
And nice on catches. Defense, was there anybody that really kind of stood out for you?
Number 21, Harmon.
We've asked a few people now, and they've all said Harmon, so seems to be putting his name firmly
on
there.
Nice number change, too.
Exactly, Who's your favorite player, by the way, on the Pats?
It's got to be Brady.
Okay.
Can't go with anybody
else. Yeah, no, you can't go wrong there. What's your prediction for the 2018 season? Where do you see them going?
Hopefully another Super Bowl. Let's try to get to number nine, you know. And
so record-wise, where can you see them finishing with 2018?
I would say regular season.
12-4?
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be rocky first four games without Edelman, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys there that look like they could fill Edelman's shoes. Maybe not to... True. Okay, thanks very much for coming on to Scotty. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
My next guest this week is Mr. Paul Grogan, who is player and coach for both the Dublin Rebels and the Irish national team set up. Paul, how's it going? Thanks very much for coming on.
Not at all. Delighted to be on, Gary.
So you just mentioned there earlier on before we came on that the last episode you were on was episode 6, which this week is episode 36, but there's not even 30 in the difference because we've had a few that weren't numbered. So it's probably nearly 40 episodes ago. So it's been a while. We've come a long way since episode 6.
Absolutely. Getting bigger and better.
And hopefully we can continue on for 2018. So by the way, do I call you a hybrid back or an offensive weapon? Or what do you go by these days? Because I know you've used both interchangeably over the years.
yeah, old man now, most. No, we'll stick to the hybrid back now. I'm not as much of a weapon as I used to be.
Okay, no, you're still getting it done. And I'll lead into that. I wanted to ask you, how's the body? You know, you're back after a long layoff. And from what I've seen personally, looks like you're back at 100%, or dare I say you're even better than before. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, I actually feel better now than I have in probably 4 or 5 years, and I suppose the rehab has kind of forced me to take care of myself a little bit better and train better, and I've gotten faster, stronger, all that kind of stuff. But we're at the tail end of the rehab now. I'll hopefully get officially signed off this week, even though I've been back playing a little bit. And as I said, faster and stronger, so I feel great.
Have you been going to like Alex Guerrero or something? What's going on?
I couldn't possibly comment on that. We're liable for testing.
Liable and pliable.
That's it, yeah.
But yeah, you look like I've obviously seen clips and footage and stuff. You're back to your blocking for the running back tandem, Awello and Pete McMahon there for the Rebels. Also back catching touchdowns, so... You're back in business anyway, which is good to hear from a personal standpoint.
Just need you back over now to draw away some coverage for me.
Never say never. Right, we'll move on. Congrats on winning the SBC South. The Rebels finished with a 6-2 record. Just ahead, you pipped the Admirals to the post there in the last game of the season. And you scored 206 points on offence and only given up a stingy 64 points in 8 games. So pretty much a touchdown per game. And your 2 losses came to 2 teams, funnily enough, that are still in the Final Four, which is your opponents this weekend, the Belfast Trojans and also the Cork Admirals. So do you feel like the Rebels are peaking at the right time? We've kind of seen it in the past, and you know, me going back a few years being on the team, it's kind of a characteristic of the Rebels is they start off a little bit sluggish, but they always try and, you know, peak as the playoffs come along. So do you feel like that's the case again this year?
Yeah, well, I think we kind of always plan our season out to have our playbook kind of open up towards the end of the season and make sure that everybody's clicking on offense. And obviously, as you gain reps throughout the season, everybody knows what they're doing a little bit more. Rookies are properly blooded in. As well as that, we had a bunch of injuries at the start of the year, and we've got a lot of guys back towards the end. It just happened that way. We've been quite lucky with injuries in the past couple of years where we've been fairly healthy the whole year. Mm. But as you said, when it comes game time and it's the serious business starts, that's when we start to click into gear and really kind of drive on, you know. And because we've been there so regularly, it's kind of something we're familiar with, and we know that this is when it is important to peak. So if we have those little slip ups during the season, they kind of happy early on, we make the adjustments that are required, and our defense have balled out this year, as you said, little over a touchdown a game, which is next to nothing. Our last 2 games we've scored 100 points total and given up none, which is a testament to both sides of the football. You know, we're clicking all over the place, the running game, passing game, special teams have come along, and it's just the right time for it all to happen, you know.
Yeah, and as well as the players that are on the field, you obviously have like this massive experience in the coaching ranks between, you know, the brothers Andy and Brian Dennehy, yourself, and even the likes of Steve Walsh and Ross McCooey. Like, all you guys have been there, done that, gotten the t-shirts, you know. It's like the combination of that experience, both from a coaching standpoint and on the field, definitely seems to be working for the Rebels, because they do seem to be, you know, getting stronger as the season goes on.
Well, that's it. There's so much experience. I mean, I think between the coach and staff, there's something like 40 or 50 Shamrock Bowls in total when you add them up. And guys with massive international experience playing abroad. Steve Walsh and Ross McCoy have obviously played at a very high level in Germany. Andy Dennehy is Andy Dennehy. He does Andy Dennehy things, you know. And having Brian on there to have that bit more experience as well, it's great for the whole team, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You lost to the Trojans in June, 21-14, which was, that was up in Belfast, right?
Yep, so yeah, it was a road trip, yeah.
You'll have revenge on your minds, but Jesus, you haven't been personally involved in many matchups with the Trojans. Anytime the Rebels and Trojans play each other, the games are always just fantastic, from being involved in them on the field, but for, you know, neutral fans or fans from other clubs, just to be able to get out there and watch those two teams go toe-to-toe is a fantastic spectacle. So, you know, have you learned that from when you lost up there in Belfast in June? Have you kind of made the necessary adjustments to make sure the result is somewhat different this time around?
Well, yeah, obviously we're going to make adjustments to whatever we've seen up there and we've seen on film as well. I'm sure they'll do the same, adjustments that they'll need to make to fix whatever they need to or have a bit more success. They're obviously a very successful team. I think they're the only team behind us that are still active in terms of total Shamrock Bowls. So they won four in a row, and that doesn't happen by mistake, you know.
No, no.
They have a good coaching staff. They've got some absolute ballers up there. But we'll be ready for them, you know. And as you said, we've played them a lot. Every year it seems to be that we play them in the playoffs in either the semi-final or the bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a spectacular game. And if guys are debating whether to go and watch it or not, it shouldn't be a debate. They should just be there if you want to see. This is pretty much football at the highest level you will see in Ireland, next to obviously the international level. But when you're talking about two club teams, you're talking about the two most successful teams that are currently existing in Ireland, and they're next to, or if not at their peak, and both teams tend to perform at this time of year, so it should be a great game, and they're always so much fun to play, and I love the challenge of playing against the better teams.
Absolutely,
it's always fun, you know.
And the teams, the like the Trojans and the Rebels, are good examples of teams that are quite balanced on, you know, running the ball and passing the ball, and like even UCD have come on leaps and bounds. I had Dara on earlier mentioning how, you know, Tom has scored like 9 rushing touchdowns, so they're very much balanced on both sides, running and passing the ball. So, you know, as you said, for people that want to go out and watch the best level of football apart from international football, you're definitely going to see very balanced offences and obviously very hard hitting defences. So is there any players in particular, any danger men on the Trojans, for people that may not be familiar with guys on the roster, is anybody you really feel the need to look out for this Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think you always go to that running back that they've got, and he gets mentioned an awful lot in Jonah Seary. He's a guy who can just go for six from anywhere. If you give him that little gap, he'll take it. And they've got a very good receiving core as well. They've got Dave Richardson out wide, and Neil Graham has started playing tight end this year. He'd previously be a fairly high-level linebacker who's doing some damage at tight end as well. And he'd probably be their biggest impact player on defense as well. The guy's got an engine that just goes for days and days. So they'd be the main threats, you know. And they've got some really good young rookies as well who've come along. As you said, they're fairly balanced. So we've got to be alive to those threats across the board, you know. And luckily we have a defense that can deal with things like that.
Yeah.
We've got ballers everywhere. And if you have a throw that's not literally right on the money, it's going to get picked off by our DBs, you know?
Yeah, they have a few picks, and it's probably a testament to what you guys are doing on offense, the fact that those guys are going up against you in practice, you know, every other week. So they're seeing a balanced offense that can throw for touchdowns and can run the ball with like a tandem running back committee and stuff. So it's something that the Rebels have probably been seeing all year, right? And now, you know, if they've made the adjustments, they're going to be seeing something similar maybe from the Trojans.
Yeah, I mean, your defense is always going to improve playing against a great offense, and vice versa. That's how our offense has to click, because we're playing against a good defense. So yeah, it's what is it? Iron sharpens iron, or steel sharpens
that's
steel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whichever one, you can edit out whichever one is wrong.
I don't really edit out now on this show. It's just whatever we fucking say, it just goes in there, you know. Right, well, best of luck on Sunday. That game is that in Sportslink?
In Sportslink, okay. In Santry, yeah. And okay. It's a 2:00 kickoff.
2:00, so I'll have to be up here at 9 a.m. Hopefully someone has a video camera out somewhere and I might be able to catch some of it. Okay, well, all the best with the game on Sunday. I did say we'll move away from, I guess, domestic competition for a little bit. We'll move on to international. I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's been a while, actually, since we've been able to do this sort of stuff. So it was announced over the weekend that our national team, who are they, they're officially, it, this has been a rebranding, is it? They're officially the Irish Wolfhounds American football team, is that correct?
I don't know if you'd call it a rebranding or rather a first branding, but yes, I believe now that we're officially known as the Irish Wolfhounds.
Okay, because before it was Team Ireland.
It was
Ireland.
Just Team Ireland, yeah, so it kind of hadn't been given a traditional football nickname. So I believe now that we are officially the Irish Wolfhounds, and there's been a logo unveiled, and that will cover both the senior team and the under 20 team, which would obviously be the part of the development setup, and they'll have games as well.
Fantastic.
And
Will they go under the same moniker as Wolfhounds, or will they be?
They will, yeah. Okay. So as far as I know,
I was kind of hoping for Wolf Pups or something like that, but we'll stick with Wolfhounds.
They might get nicknames or something like that.
I'm just going to call them the Wolf Pups. Fuck it. So it was announced that you're playing the Belgium Barbarians in October, which is location to be decided, but I would assume it's in the National Sports Centre there. Is it in Ashtown or Blanchardstown?
It's in Blanchardstown, but I've no idea where the venue will be yet.
Okay, yeah, to be decided, but hopefully seems to be the place that's kind of most equipped to handle something like that. So I guess we'll see over the coming weeks as more details come out. But you personally played against Belgian opposition a few times. You played in a few Atlantic Cups. So can you tell some of the listeners, you know, that may not know your illustrious career as a Dublin Rebel, what Belgian teams have you played so far?
So what was the first thing were like the West Flanders Tribes or something
I think that's correct, yeah.
I don't think they exist anymore with that name. Now, the Tribes exist, but I think they changed the city or the town that they were located in.
Right.
So that was 2009. Then the Brussels Tigers, we didn't actually play them the next time we played in the Cup because they were on the other side of the draw.
Yeah.
But we ended up playing them again then when we were in Brussels a couple of years later. I think it was 2013 or 14, something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of the same guys there on the Tigers team. And obviously, with it being like a tournament, you get to know them a little bit. You have a chat and talk football, that kind of stuff.
And share a beer or two, no doubt, afterwards.
Absolutely, yeah. So, some good dudes, some real ballers as well. The Belgians would have a few guys who would play in the Division 1 in Germany, which is generally considered to be the highest level in Europe that you can play at.
Yeah.
They'd have a few guys playing over there. Now, don't ask me any names. similarly to our own federation, Belgium would have grown in terms of football quite quickly recently.
Yeah.
So they're getting to a pretty high level. But I think it's a really good matchup in terms of size, skill, ability, all that kind of stuff. So we'd be fairly confident that we can get out there and do some damage, you know?
Fantastic. And it is long overdue because the last outing, it was two years ago, right?
Yep, and 2016.
That was away to Holland. And the bloody game wasn't even finished because it was thunder and lightning put a stop to it.
Early on in the third quarter, thunder and lightning, and it never dissipated, unfortunately. So after sitting around for about an hour and a half in the stadium, soaking wet from the heat more than the rain.
Yeah. So it's definitely long overdue anyway, and with the level of coaching across the league, like it, hopefully it's here to stay. Is this, you know, not to put you on the spot, you may know, you may not want to tell me, whatever. Like is it going to be a once a year thing, or hopefully can we kick on? I know I had head coach Ciarán O'Sullivan on, I think it's a couple of months ago at this stage, and he said that hopefully, you know, when the ball gets rolling, it continues to roll, and we can be involved in, you know, international tournaments or competitions or whatever. I'm assuming you share the same, you know, hopes and desires for the national team.
Yeah, we would want it to kind of keep rolling and have hopefully a couple of games a year, but as yet I've no idea what the plan or the setup is going forward in terms of extra games and stuff. All I know is that this game is organized, but I know there is a plan to do that. Whether it comes to fruition, we'll have to wait and see. I would think so. There's some good people behind the scenes working on getting more games, and a lot of it's going to depend on other countries being available open to things like that. But I would hope that this was the national program really kicking into gear now, you know, because as you said, it's been way too long since the last game, and hopefully there won't be anywhere near the same kind of gap between this next one and the next one after that.
I mean, Ireland has a national Quidditch team, for fuck's sake, like seriously. And Harry Potter isn't catching shit over the Midland double coverage, so it's about time we have a fucking national football team representing green, white, and orange. I know
anybody really wants to represent Ireland, then they've no idea what to do. Take up Quidditch.
I know there's a team in Iceland that are always looking for games because they are literally the only team in Iceland. So maybe they'll become the Icelandic national team. You can get an old cheap flight on WOW Airlines or something like that and head over. Be a good crack. Speaking on other sports on the national scene, I was just watching. I know one or two mates of yours play baseball in Ireland. I was just watching the European Championships group stages, and it was in Ashbourne out in County Meath, I believe it was. It seemed to be a very good event out there, very well set up. They had the games all streaming. Ireland did very well. They whooped everyone's arse. So, like, you know, baseball is probably, I would imagine, even smaller than football in Ireland. There's not as many teams, if I'm not mistaken. You may know a little bit more through your mate that plays.
I don't. I don't know too much about how many other teams there are. I know there's at least six. I don't know after that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it's a fairly low-cost sport for people to start playing. I know they have a very good youth setup as well. Mm. So they get kids involved at a very early age, you know, because it's obviously not the safety concerns with baseball that you would have with football. But the facility that they have out there is fantastic. Like, it's a proper full-size baseball field.
Yeah.
They've got some bleachers there for fans to sit on. There's always food stands and stuff, and I think there's a permanent bar there. There's a little hut where they do sell the beers and wine and stuff like that, so you can kind of go out when it's a nice day, have a drink, watch some baseball, and
and just relax and enjoy it.
Set up. They've always got their announcer and stuff, and they've got a guy who does their announcing, and he's very funny. Every player that comes out gets their own little song before they come out, whatever they've chosen. There's always a funny quip to go with it, depending on who it is, you know.
Well, if the national team need an MC, you know, they have my details. They know where to find me.
Absolutely, yeah.
One last question. What was it I had for you? About the national team. So, would it be like a tryout basis? Like, is it open to guys in the SBC or IFL1? How has it been in the past? Or is it, you know, the coaching staff and scouting team, I guess you can call them, would they have been going around to games, keeping an eye on lads and kind of jotting down who they feel would be the best fit for what they're working with there in the national team? Or how does it work?
Yeah, so in terms of tryouts, I don't know what the plan would be with that. I do know that the guys who were announced as part of the coaching staff on the Irish American Football website have been at games throughout the year. You just notice them, but they're always around the game, so they're always seeing the players and stuff. And I don't know their plan in terms of recruitment or who will be involved and stuff like that. So I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Brilliant. On that note, that's a great little line to finish on. We'll leave it at that. Best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks, man.
Come through unscathed. And I'll actually be home in Dublin in a few weeks, so we can meet up for a pint. So thanks very much for coming on, Paul. Appreciate it.
No worries, man. Sounds good. Take care.
Bye.
That'll do it for episode 36 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. As always, you can find us on all the social media pages, Facebook, Insta, and Twitter. Wherever you're listening to us, be it Spotify, SoundCloud, the iTunes podcast app, or any of the Android apps, we appreciate you tuning in. Feel free to give a review or whatever. We always appreciate feedback, and tell your mates about us. We're starting to grow now, hoping to explode in 2018. So if you have any friends or family that would be interested in listening to us shite on about football, feel free to send them our way. So stay tuned for our next installment of Paddy Pigskin, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slaunching. Take care. I let that white stuff sit in. Get hard, get rock, get to the block and pitching. Yeah, I'm sorry, but this is how I'm living, and this is how I'm getting. Come fuck the war with this old hand on my handle. Listening to gangster music. Hey. I stood at home, head on the chrome in the zone, flicking the channels, watching how the gangsters do it. Say with me. I stood alone, getting dome from a thick chicken sandwich. Watch now I see death mad. Around the corner. Gotta stay high, now will I survive in a city where the skinny niggas die? Nope. It's the city where the skinny niggas ride, 4-5 send me on they side, twisted when they drive, liquor shot, big poppin' pot, one more for Shine locked inside, two more for Cam for taking over the rock, it's my year, so, okay, y'all can't fuck with me, no way,
what?
Jose or Hector Camacho, check blowin' racho, chest closing tacos. Motherfucker, I'm the best. I told y'all before, I showed y'all before. Hey.
I stood alone watching the wall in its own hand on my handle, listening to gangster music. Hey. I stood at home, head on the chrome, with its own flicking and channels,
watching how the gangsters do it.
Say it with me. I stood alone, getting dome from a thick chicken sandwich,
watching Shaft clocking math,
clocking math. Okay, man. I'm with you, Santana. This the union right here. Let's do it one time. Dipset, bitch. You know you can't fuck with okay. It, boy. Killer.
I'm on the west side of Chicago looking for a bus stand to make me put my two arms up. Touchdown, you stay in touch now. But when I touch down, I'm like buckshot shorty, duck down. Yeah, I must clown, I'm from Harlem Uptown. When we flash money, take your bitch and ask you what now. Bird flip a dozen, chicks is dicks, they suckin'. Swallow my kids, go and kiss they cousin. Guess they kissin' cousins, toy is kissin' muffin. Worse than that, they go home and kiss they husband. This shit's disgusting. Keep the chickens clucking. Keep the pigeons bugging. This on my wrist is nothing. Yeah, it's just yellow hearts and pink diamonds. Where I get the money for this? Don't think rhyming. You fucking with Pablo, Bravo, Mario, Via Bono, Ho, Tato.
I stood alone watching the wall in its own hand on my handle, listening to gangster music. Hey. I stood at home, head on the chrome, in the zone, flicking the channels,
watching how the gangsters do it.
Say it with me. I stood alone, watching the wall in the zone, head on my handle, listening to gangster music. Hey. I stood alone, getting dome from a thick chicken sandwich,
watching Shaft clocking math.